you will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. Welcome back. I'm Rob Artigo, entrepreneur and writer. Happy to be back for another edition of the Tough Things First podcast. Hi, Ray.
Hey, Rob. Good to be with you today.
Facebook slide that we've seen recently, some are calling it an implosion, and we don't know if there's ominous signs on the horizon for Facebook, but I looked at some numbers that I've found on the internet today. It showed Facebook's traffic in the past 2 years has gone down from 8.5 billion visits per month to 4.7 billion visits per month. Now, they still obviously 4.7 billion visits per month is still huge, but that's a drop of 3.8 billion. And the stock had a big dive in late July, early August, went down significantly from its high. And now you deal with entrepreneurs and investors all the time. In the shadow of Facebook's troubles, view it in terms of what has happened to other companies as well. Do you think there's an impact here for startups going forward?
Don't know. I mean, it depends upon how many of them are using their website as data mining. So the big bucks are in data mining. Google, notwithstanding, all of them do data mining. Insurance companies, banks, I mean, they're all, that's a problem that Wells Fargo got into. So, whenever you start using your base, as you would, your customer base for data mining, that really upsets the customer because he's not getting paid for that. In other words, they're gathering information from you or me, but we're not getting paid for giving out that information. And we think it's private. We think it should be proprietary, not something that they just freely give away. But the big money, you know, it's like people who sell their mailing list, which has now gone down the tube, but people used to sell a mailing list. That's how they made their money, is data mining.
I think it might be one of those things that is behind what's turning people off in a lot of these Facebook social networks and that sort of thing. If a startup thinks they're going to rely on data mining going forward, is there a danger that they'll run into a problem with pushback from users and maybe even governmental intervention to prevent people from overusing the data that you're giving them when they're data mining?
Absolutely. That's the big rub, is that we all like our privacy. We like that protected. And as soon as you start using that for your own exploitation, then you're upsetting the customer. And if you're going to be a company that's going to be using, you know, your customer base for data mining and selling it off that way, you're going to have a problem.
So this is something that you're seeing actually occur. I mean, have there been other fields that you've seen this occur in where there's, let's put it this way, a discussion among investors and, you know, the high end crowds where you've got people that are a lot of guys like you who are, CEOs and former CEOs who do a lot of investing in the tech field. Are you hearing people talk about this as being a potential major problem going forward?
Not a lot, but if you look at like a hospital or a medical firm who collects a lot of private data, proprietary data, they'd love to be able to sell that. And so they figure out ways that they can close the information in a non nefarious way, so they can get that information to insurance companies, to medical firms, to, you know, pharmaceutical companies, because they would love to have that data available for their own use. My brother, who works for UC Davis in California, he actually makes more money from the medical companies by doing medical research than he does from donations to do the research. So in other words, he makes money selling information. Now, his information is off of cattle, you know, in animals. And that's different than human beings, because, you know, most people don't care if their animal information gets put out or gets data mined. There's a lot of money out there for companies getting information. And so as my brother does at UC Davis, he data mines, or he gathers information for companies. And these are medical companies, but they're using animals for research as opposed to human beings.
Is there a cottage industry that may spring up, one that is, that fights this for the end user? Say a person who wants to make sure that they have a phone cover or something that protects the information that the microphone setups on their phones, or that controls what's being seen through the camera, or other aspects of using your social media, so that when you're using the internet or using Facebook or using Twitter or something like that, that it's unable to gather a lot of information on you. In other words, it has to deal with just bare bones info.
But you're dealing with companies that you have to divulge information, you know, whether it be credit report, whether it be a bank, you know, your banking data, you know, what you have in savings or checking. You can't protect that, because that's something that you input to them, and they have that available. Now, they're not supposed to use that data without your permission, but they do somehow or another, in some superfluous way, been able to,
yeah,
to get,
right.
Get around that and be able to supply that data to people who want it and who need it. Now, it may not have your name on it, but it has maybe your age, your area where you live, it knows, like, for example, your address. And so they might, instead of giving the specific address, they might say in the general area of, and then like Sacramento or, you know, Sunnyvale or Menlo Park or something. And then they say, okay, if they know the demographics of that area, they can draw a lot of conclusions just from your data.
We can wrap this up by talking a little bit about a recent development where Facebook is talking to banks. They'd like to partner with banks and have a payment service that they start to provide on Facebook. Now, they already sell stuff on Facebook. You can already pay for things through Facebook, including advertising, but you can also buy gifts and whatnot. But recently they've said, no, we're going to go to banks, and we're going to have a partnership with banks, and we're going to have a payment. And I was listening to a talk show host yesterday, national syndicated talk show host, who said that he saw it as a step towards essentially eventually becoming a bank itself, Facebook. I was reading it as not a matter of making money off of being the payment provider, but be able again to get more data, to have access to the bank's data and everything else, and just become even more of a behemoth in data mining. Have you heard this, and what's your reaction to it?
Well, certainly, you know, eBay does that with PayPal and other, there's other forms of banking. So anytime you use something like a PayPal, or in the case of Facebook, like Facebook Pal or whatever, then you're going to have to give credit information. And once you do, that's all available now to Facebook, and like it is to eBay. And they can draw all kinds of conclusions from that, because there's no way they can issue payment if you're not a good credit. So it's like a credit card. And so, you know, for you to use any of these non-banking services, they're going to have to get credit information from you, your social security numbers, your financial statement in some cases. So yes, you're gonna be opening up Pandora's box when you do this. Credit card companies do it already,
right? Because they're looking at buying habits, they're looking at where you're going, they're looking at trends, they're help, and what they're doing. And I'll tell you a little experience with the Facebook deal is when you're trying to advertise to somebody, and this whole controversy about the targeted ads used by the Russian organizations and this other so-called bad actors out there, is they take the data that Facebook has available to them, and they can use so much of that data, that mined data, to figure out people's emotional states and their attitudes and what they need to move them and motivate them to take action of some sort. And I think that as more of that becomes available, gets out there as part of public knowledge, people will start to push back and say, you know what? For example, I never use Facebook Messenger. I would never put it on my phone. I would never use it on my computer. It's just too intrusive. But I'm giving up some info because I still use Facebook, you know, and I have Twitter. And who knows how long that'll last. I mean, I think that as time goes by, people are going to start getting more upset with this kind of stuff. And Facebook will continue to have a problem, but so will other companies that are delving so deeply into your life with their data mining.
Just today, I got a Facebook message came through about this woman dressed provocatively asking, you know, she wanted to be friends, or she says, okay, she's poking at me, which is another term they use. And if you answer that, then now she has access to your account, to your friends. So there's all kinds of, you know, unscrupulous things that are taking place using Facebook as a media.
Yeah, I think we've pretty much, you know, determined the fact that some of Facebook's troubles might be related to people kind of burning out on the social media platforms based on worries about privacy, and it's legitimate.
Yep.
All right, Ray. Well, you know, you can visit Ray Zinn at toughthingsfirst.com. And while you're there, you can subscribe to the podcast, Tough Things First, but also you can rate it and share it on any of the platforms where you find your podcasts. And don't forget, Ray's new book, The Zen of Zinn, is available now. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks again, Rob. It's good talking to you.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.